Today great. Today is such a great day. Everything is so great.
We're going to have a lot of fun. We got some wonderful people for you.
All you mommies and daddies out there who complain to the radio station, I got something to say to you.
And the first thing you've got to do is say the call letters properly. Okay?
It's an incredible metamorphosis of love and emotion and sensitivity and tenderness and fun and joy and happiness.
Did you know that this show represents health and hope?
It's a great day to fall back to old tropes and march forward to an early spring. Good luck with that one. Welcome aboard the Amy Beth Erkwies Show, weaving together a mosaic of voices from the arts, pop culture, personal growth, and justice. How are you? Northeast. I don't know what happened to my groundhog after a fairly uneventful February, at least in terms of precipitation. March roared in here like a lion with an Arctic blast of ice and snow and more to come, more substantial stuff, at the end of the weekend. Just been a lookout, Northeasterners and others. Another one of our popular pop-up weekend coffee clashes. If you're listening live, it is Saturday, March 2nd, 11 a.m. out west. 1 p.m. in Central and 2 o'clock here in the East. Our number in motion, 347-857-4505. Twitter is 24/7. Dive in when it works for you live around podcast, Davey writes. And should you be listening live, more and more folks are doing it. I don't know how the TCS crew works that social media magic, but they get out the memo and people are lining up already. Facebook page, PopNet chat box also open, so avail yourself to whatever outlet works for you. Show is brought to you in part by Old Navy. Bundle up for great styles and savings at Old Navy. By Panera, the way food should be, now delivered. And by our pals at PopNet. Arts Culture Conversation, up and running 24/7 on air online, featuring select editions of the Amy Beth Erkwies Show. And yeah, those robust roundtables that have wreaked havoc on our schedule, but we love them because they're rough and tumble and, oh, so much fun. So grab yourself a cup of joe and let's go, because there's lots to talk about in a world where a convicted perjurer holds more credibility before Congress than a sitting president. We'll talk about it. Bernie Sanders back in action. Another walk in the creative woods for me and your inspiration to action, Sean. Success stories, great music too, including your Forgotten 45. All coming up only in America on the Amy Beth Erkwies Show. Welcome aboard.
Only in America can a guy from anywhere go to sleep a pauper and wake up a millionaire. Get a break and maybe grow up to be president. Only in America, land of opportunity, yeah. Would a classy girl like you fall for a poor boy like me? Only in America, can a kid who's washing cars take a giant step and reach right up. Then possibly in America, could a dream like this come true? Could a guy like me start with nothing and end up with
now join America's most popular show already in progress.
There's a man who leads a life of treason. Now he can't believe the trouble he's in. He gave insider bones to Putin and his throne. Odds are he's in Leavenworth tomorrow. Secret agent Manafort, secret agent Manafort. Hey, they're giving you a jumpsuit and taking away your name. You mention Mueller and he barely twitches. But Derek Pascom makes him soil his britches. Even at his trial, he had Kilimnik on speed dial. Odds are Trump is his cellmate tomorrow. Secret agent Manafort, secret agent Manafort. Hey, they're giving you a jumpsuit and taking away your name. They say he laundered money and then hid it. He said, oh, no, 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 okay, I did it. A guilty plea he copped. Yeah, he flipped, but then he flopped. Odds are he'll say, pardon me tomorrow. Secret agent Manafort, secret agent Manafort. Hey, they're giving you a jumpsuit and taking away your name. Yeah, they're giving you a jumpsuit emblazoned with your name.
Bye.
Watching that chain of fools make it from D.C. to the CPAC convention in Maryland. On the Amy Beth Arguey Show with the late great Queen of Soul, Aretha Franklin, and Not So Forgotten 45 for Toby. And Marvin Gaye, can I get a witness? Marvin Gaye, it's official, will be memorialized on a stamp coming out April 2nd, which would have been his 80th birthday. Great music and a great tribute to a man whose life was cut short, but boy, that music lives on and on, doesn't it? Speaking of witnesses, Michael Cohen, yes, an imperfect witness, but the man brought receipts. Damage done to Trump and company. We'll talk a little bit about that hearing in a moment. Roy Zimmerman, too, the great social satirist. His song Secret Agent Manafort, as a former disgraced, now convicted Trump campaign manager, faces up to 25 years in prison, I believe, when he's sentenced next week, first time around. I guess he's got two sentencing in New York and D.C., right? Is that it? Federal courts, but two different jurisdictions. Anyway, the prosecutors are seeking the max, up to 25 years, I think, or 19 to 24, something like that. But the his defense team, of course, asking for leniency on the basis of him being a good community member and spreading American values around the world, but downplaying his Russian ties. We'll see how that one plays out. Only in America, too, from Jay and the Americans. It is the Amy Beth Arguey Show. It's deja news all over again with the grand old ostrich party sticking their head in the sand whenever Trump has a misstep. We'll talk about this outrage following his Vietnam bomb. Did not go well with North Korea in the summit. No one thought it would. But okay, he tried. He walked away, which is better to have no deal than a bad deal. That is for sure. But this horrible attack, the affront to an American family and the conscience of this country that he again committed by taking the word of an inhumane dictator is outrageous. We'll talk about the Otto Warmbier fallout in just a few moments, but let's take on this Michael Cohen thing. How do you think he acquitted himself? I think he did pretty well considering he's a convicted perjurer, thief, fraudster, etc. But then again, his boss for over 10 years was in on the crime, so to speak, though he's not convicted yet. Intriguing. What's your take? Twitter is AB Wrights, phone line 347-857-4505, and yes, the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box is open as well. Do we have anything on this? We'll get to it. We'll get to the whole thing. We've got a bunch of feeds going with people talking about different things, so we'll take you on that in a moment. But one of the things I noticed, the Democrats acquitted themselves pretty well for the most case. A couple of the shining stars were a couple of freshmen. AOC got a lot of notes. I also believe Katie Hill from California did a great job in their questioning. The Republicans, the grandstanding and chiding Cohen for being a convicted liar, all of that, while they really didn't quite defend the president, one guy from Wisconsin tried, but not so much. They were obsessed with Cohen getting his boxes back from the prosecutors, and they were also obsessed with the fact that he might at some point seek a book or movie deal, and he said he might. So he was honest about that. But and I don't know, but the Son of Sam laws, I think they've been argued in different jurisdictions whether or not you can profit from your crimes in terms of having a book deal or a movie deal. But they were so obsessed with it, it was kind of funny to watch. What's your take? Twitter is AB Wrights, phone line 247-857-4505. We're all writing that book every day, right? Take a look.
I can remember like it was only yesterday. Love was young and foolish. Like a little child at play. But oh, how lovers change. I never dreamed out easily. For now, I'm just the shadow of the boy I used to be.
About my love.
I was a fool to myself.
traces of the evil that lurks within. Smiling faces, sometimes they don't tell the truth. Smiling faces, tell lies, and I got proof.
Sometimes they don't tell the truth, whether it's a smile from the sitting president or his now convicted perjurer, felon, former lawyer, fixer, both Patrick Liars. Indeed, Lenny, that's a great song. Very apropos from the Undisputed Truth and Not So Forgotten 45. And Rockpile, when I write the book, for all those obsessed with Michael Cohen's future possible book deals, yeah, we'll see. It is confusing. I'm not so sure about where we stand in this country now. The Son of Sam laws, which were enacted after the infamous David Berkowitz killings back in the late 70s to ensure that people couldn't profit from their crimes. I think they've been overturned for free speech reasons in most jurisdictions. I'm not quite sure about that. But in any event, Cohen is going to pay a price. And yes, he did have a convenient change of heart, so to speak. He saw the light. Suddenly, after working for Donald Trump for 10-plus years, he realizes that Donald Trump is a con man, a cheat, and a racist in his opening statements. But you know what? He was credible because it was an even-handed presentation. First of all, he brought some evidence, that check that Donald Trump signed, the hush money payment reimbursement check, while he was in the Oval Office, indicates that he knew what was going on with the Stormy Daniels hush money. Plus, he has a tape on that, by the way. Conveniently, Trump, via his interview, his last interview with Sean Hannity, Hannity might wind up being called to Congress because he also kind of said, well, Cohen told me that he did it on his own. Well, Cohen was on tape with Donald Trump when they were conspiring to hatch the plan and make the payment. So, you know, again, kids, you got to keep track. That's the whole thing they always say. If you lie, if you tell the truth, you don't have to worry about keeping track of the stories. If you lie, you got to keep making sure at least your stories are consistent. It's just nutty. Anyway, but he didn't throw him under the bus entirely. He said, I don't know. I have suspicions, but I don't have any proof about the Russian collusion. He did say that. And Trump, when he came out and said, well, he's a confirmed liar, and he lied a lot, but he told the truth about Russia. Well, I don't know. If he wanted to, just he could throw a book at Trump. So I think he was careful, and he would face, as Elijah Cummings, who I cannot say enough about, the man who is the chairman of the Oversight Committee, he gives me some hope in the dignity of what is left of D.C., that there could be a shred there left to be stitched back together, because he definitely is a class act. He's got some wisdom, some compassion. He showed a bright light in the abyss that we all think of as Congress and Washington these days, and for probably a long time, but a very classy man, and said some really important things, I think, and pretty much said, look, well, you're better than this, and you're better than this, and we can learn from this, hopefully, and also told people that there are a lot of other people that need to be investigated and or testify, like Alan Weisselberg, who is the CFO of the Trump Organization, the guy who holds the books, was Fred Trump's accountant years before, so this guy knows where the financial bodies are buried for sure. And, you know, we'll see how it all plays out, but I think he acquitted himself as well as a convicted felon could. Yes, he is going to jail, and I guess he's hoping to get some time off, although he doubt he's going to get any credit for the congressional hearing, and he pretty much said that. He's coming back next week. Also, he was behind closed doors in two of them, and in public once. Next week, we have Felix Sater, who is also a convicted felon, involved in various transactions with the Trump Organization, who Trump has said, I don't know who this guy is, although he's done some work with him. So it's very intriguing. Trump's loyalty is he demands loyalty from people, and he drops you like a hot potato the minute there's any scintilla of scandal surrounding you. That's for sure. You're checking his Twitter feed, please. AB Wright's phone line 347-857-4505. Should you find yourself listening live on this Saturday pop-up coffee clutch, it's March 2nd, and also we have the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box open. So, you know, have at us the way that it works for you. Larry says the chilling quote at the end of testimony for Michael Cohen was, he said, I fear that if Donald Trump loses the election in 2020, there will never be a peaceful transition of power, and this is why I agreed to appear before you today. That is chilling indeed. A lot of folks say that Trump is going to barricade him. I always say that he's going to barricade himself in that White House. He has to win the 2020 election. Because there may be some indictments. If the Mueller probe doesn't unearth anything, the Southern District of New York is certainly looking into those financial things. And some of these things, the statute of limitations may run out after the second term, but if he loses, he could be in trouble. So we'll see what we can do. Tom says, I don't know how you can think this guy is credible. He was convicted of a slew of felonies. Well, I kind of agree with that, Tom, except, again, he brought receipts. He has some documentation to back it up. That's important. Corroboration, as they say. And Trump is also, he's not a convicted liar, that's true, but he is a liar. We know he's a liar. So it's just so crazy. And Sarah says, Hillary Clinton warned us about this too, about the transition of power and the whole puppet thing. Yeah, he's not a puppet. That's what he keeps saying. I know. Twitter, AB Wright, phone line 347-857-4505. Facebook page is open, pop in the chat box, too. Please have at us, whatever way works for you. One of the funny asides was that Cohen admitted that he had to put the strong arm on a lot of folks, mostly through threats, obviously, not physical. He didn't do the physical work if there were any people. He kind of hinted there were some folks that would beat people up, too. This is very thuggerish, mobster kind of behavior. But his job was to write threatening letters and to curse people out. We saw him in action, not being such a nice guy to reporters in his glory days of defending the president to the hilt. But one of the things he said was he had to write letters to Trump's colleges, prep schools, colleges, and the College Board to put fear of God that they should never release his grades and SAT scores. How low could they be to have such threats? One wonders. Reach out. It is the Abbey Beth Arguish.
Students, please open your test booklets and begin standardized test number 6,422,393.
This is my school life, September until May. Caught in a landslide of standardized tests each day. We gotta show that we can compete statewide.
Here is your next test, multiple choice.
Because we're tested out, look at me, I can't spell S-A-T.
Just check off a box, time's running on the clocks.
Brains fried,
brains fried. I've got a plan. I could sort of bend the rules, and we'd beat the other schools. Students, your time is almost done. But if I change the clock, it's just begun. Ha ha! Ooh!
measure of the year.
I'm gonna give you some little tiny hints.
Question two, it really is frightening. Who on earth would know the father of astronomy?
Galileo!
Galileo, if that I didn't know.
No!
I'm just a dumb kid from a dumb family.
She's just a dumb kid from a dumb family. Spare her the shame of a bad SAT.
MIT, Harvard Law, will you let me go?
You're joking, no.
We will not let you go.
Let them go.
You're joking.
They will not let us go.
Let them go.
You're joking.
They will not let us go.
Let them go.
We will not let you go.
Let me go.
We'll not let you go.
We will not go.
No.
Let politicians take these tests.
See what they know.
Court, I'm worried about the beaver.
Welcome back. Your dreams were your ticket out. Welcome back to that same old place that you laughed about. Well, the names have all changed since you hung around, but those dreams have remained and they've turned around. Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Who'd have thought they'd lead ya?
Welcome back. Welcome back indeed. John Sebastian on the Abby Beth Darkwood Show, Forgotten 45, for Cynthia with some kind words via the PopNet chat box. Thank you so much. Happy to have you tagging along. And the Capital Steps, their School Life Rhapsody, as we have a little fun with the looks like low grades and scores from Donald Trump. Intriguing. How low can they go? Love those public hearings. How about you? Twitter is AB Rights, phone line 347-857-4505. Facebook page, PubNet chat box open too. It's official today. Bernie Sanders has launched his 2020 campaign with a stop and a rally at his old alma mater, Brooklyn College. He is from Brooklyn, of course, made some impassioned pleas and talked about his family and his parents, getting a little blowback from women and minorities by not talking about race. They say that's one of his Achilles heels. We'll see. It's going to be a more crowded field than ever, the 2020 POTUS race, that is, as more people keep throwing their hats into the ring. Jay Inslee, the governor of Washington, the first governor to officially announce, launched his campaign the other day. His big thing is climate change will be his number one and only singular issue, but of course he says that informs all the other issues, including the economy, et cetera. We'll see how that goes. We're still talking Beto O'Rourke and Joe Biden, who tops the quote-unquote polls so far. But, you know, they were talking about polls on MSNBC this morning, and I'm tearing my hair out because, hey, MSNBC, no. Stop with the delusional polls. They're faulty at best. We know what happened back in 2016. So let's chill it with the polls, because a lot can happen between now and then. And Donald Trump, everybody thought he was going to be beatable. Remember, he wasn't. And he's going to cling to everything he can, as we said earlier, to barricade himself inside that White House, if nothing else, not just to have the power grab to ensure his freedom when it comes to his indictment. So hang in there. We'll see what happens. But it's a very busy, and I hope it's not going to become a bitter blue field, because there is some animosity still between the Bernie people and the Hillary people. And we got to cut it out, whichever side you are on, because we got to work together and we've got to come out the other side. I'm not so sure Bernie's capable and the Bernie people are capable of doing it, but we're going to have to. That's for sure, no matter who gets the nomination. And the field is crowded. What's your take? Twitter, AB Rights, phone line 347-857-4505, Facebook page, PopNet Shopbox. Bernie's back in. Are you with him? That becomes the big question. Patty already chiming in. She says, hell no. I unfollow all Bernie trolls. Okay, I'm not a Bernie troll. I'm just asking. Leo says, yes, Bernie strikes all the right notes. The original progressive, he knows what he's talking about. All right, anybody else chiming in? Ken says, it's still okay to be white. In 2017, well, it's 2019, but that's okay. It is still okay to be white, yes. So don't discriminate against Bernie just because he's an old white guy. Well, yeah, I understand. I'm not discriminating against because he's an old white guy. I'm not discriminating against him at all. If he gets the nomination, I'm blue no matter who. I can't say he's my first choice. My big beef with Bernie, besides the way he did or didn't support Hillary, and that's debatable, and I don't want to relitigate that, frankly, is he's not really an official Democrat. He refuses to officially become a Democrat and to get the Democratic nomination. It's very convenient to me to say that. As a Democratic Socialist, I don't care about your labels, but if you're on the party, be part of the party. I mean, AOC is part of the Democratic Party, even though she says that she is a Democratic Socialist. I mean, I'm not arguing about that, and there's validity to that. I just want us to be careful about scaring people with the socialism tag, because that's exactly how the Republicans are going to try to paint it. They're already saying, well, Donald Trump isn't so bad because his policies are good and they're going to help people. They're going to scare people into reelecting Donald Trump, the man who has shown himself to be, frankly, a criminal and an outrage in so many ways, because they're going to scare people over this socialism label. And we have to fight that. And the Democrats, whoever gets the nomination, is certainly going to have to fight that. But my beef with Bernie is he won't officially become a Democrat. So why does he just run as an independent? What's your take? I mean, that's my take. What's yours? Twitter is AB Rights, phone line 347-857-4505. Yes, we have the Facebook page and the PopNet chat box on and PopNet. Philly chiming in. Hey, great to hear the show. Love it on the weekends. Very convenient for me, but you do it when you can. And no, it's a no-go on Bernie. I'm not sure who I'm supporting, leaning towards Biden if he gets in. Well, we'll see what happens. Biden had a bit of a gaffe, too, the other day when he called Mike Pence a decent guy. And people are all outraged about that. I'm not so sure that that's the tack to take. I agree. I'm not a Mike Pence fan, and if Mike Pence became president, should Trump have to exit early, I would fight against him too. His policies are very right-wing and insulting to the LGBTQ community, to women, to a lot of people. I get that. But to call somebody a decent guy doesn't mean people are like throwing him under the bus already, Biden. Well, get ready. Buckle up, because Biden's going to make some gaffes. If Uncle Joe gets the nomination, and maybe he's not going to get the nomination. Maybe it is really his time has passed. I don't know. We'll see how it plays out. But we do need to beat Trump, and I just think he has got the authenticity and the experience, steady as you go steady the ship, and bring somebody like, say, Harris along. They're talking about a Biden-Beto ticket. Beto, of course, is yet to announce, but he said he made his decision. He'll announce it shortly, so that means he must be in, right? I'm thinking. But Biden so far says he's close, but he's not sure he's going to run yet. They got time. We'll see. But I think the Biden-Beto ticket is a no-go. I think we need to have a woman on the ticket, and I think a woman of color. I think Harris would be great. I think that the reason the Biden-Harris ticket would work is you'd have Biden probably, presumably, although he won't officially say it, for a one term, and to sort of groom Harris, or maybe groom is the word, but just have people become more comfortable with the fact that a woman can do it, because we need a woman somewhere, and I'm not sure the top of the ticket is going to do it, but we'll see how the primaries play out. She may pull out ahead, or maybe one of the other women. We have a whole bunch of women now running. We have Elizabeth Warren, Gillibrand, Gafford. We'll see. We'll see how it, again, it's not up to me. It's not up to any of us individually to say who it's going to be. It's going to see how the primary plays, and it is a long gauntlet that they have to run. That's for sure. There we go. And Diana says, Bernie Sanders is in Brooklyn. He's outside. It's freezing. Donald Trump is in a warm hall. Bernie Sanders is real. Donald Trump is fake. Bernie is 100,000% for the people. It's all about we. Trump is about I. And Bernie did say, because people were shouting, Bernie, 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 and I did hear a bit of his opening rally speech, and he said, no, it's not about Bernie. It's about us. It's about we. We're going to the White House. So he's very much that inclusive sense. There's a lot of good things about Bernie Sanders. I'm not saying that. There's not. I don't think he did as much as he could have done in 2016 to prevent Donald Trump from being elected. He's going to try to do all he can in 2020 to prevent him from being reelected, and that I do believe, because he has said if he doesn't get the nomination, he's going to back whoever does. They all say that, and they all should say that, and we all should be on that page. We should all be on that page. As I always say, it's great to have a vigorous primary season. Let's do it. But let's play blue no matter who when it comes down to it. Beth says, I have been wavering between him and another candidate, and that speech just heard makes me lean forward or toward Bernie Sanders. I believe him. Believability, authenticity, that is going to be key, I think, for a lot of people, indeed. I agree with Bernie Sanders, so says Deborah. I'm in. All in for Bernie. That's the way to go. Cal says, no, Bernie, he's too divisive, too radical. He will never get the nomination. He will never win, but he will be bitter if he doesn't. Ouch, a doodle-doo, indeed. Got somebody on the line? Hey, welcome to the show.
Hi, my name's Joe.
Hey, Joe, how are you? I'm good.
Okay.
What's up?
I'd like to find out what you find so fascinating about Bernie.
What do I find fascinating about Bernie? If you're listening to the show, I'm not necessarily fascinated by Bernie. I think he's there. He obviously has coalesced a lot of people behind him. He has progressive ideas. I don't think he's going to get the nomination. I think he's probably too divisive anyway, and I don't think he handled himself all that well in 2016, so I'm not a big supporter. But if he gets the nomination, I will vote for him because it's blue no matter who, as far as I'm concerned. Who are you? Who are you? So you're not big on Bernie. Who are you big on?
No. I'm a libertarian. I happen to believe in individual rights. Rugged individualism, lack of government. I presume then if you're not a Bernie fan, you might be a Democrat fan. And and you presume that government could fix all the ills of America?
No. I have some libertarian leanings too. I just think we do need a social safety net. I do believe in that. There are some people that are in situations where they can't help themselves, and we have to have some ability to help those people, and I think there's a lot of inequality.
Okay.
And do you think
I happen to believe in that too.
No,
I said I happen to believe in that.
Okay.
But
go ahead.
I don't like the way the government does it because the government's corrupt. Also, when you have the Federal Reserve, which is printing money and making America go into debt, that creates a problem. Now, if you eliminated, not just audited the Federal Reserve, but eliminated it and put the power of the purse back into the Treasury's hands where it belonged, where it could print money without causing taxation, I would think that the social net that the government would do would be better. Hopefully it would be better. It all depends upon the corruption of the people who's in government.
Right. Well, do you think that things have gotten better or worse or stayed the same since Trump has been in office?
I think things have gotten a little bit better. I don't think the economy is as great as it could be. Then again, the Federal Reserve is still in existence. We do have record unemployment for women, blacks, Hispanics. We did cut regulations in order to make business thrive a little bit more. People did get their tax refunds, not everybody. He's managed to...
refunds, I think people that I know of have been complaining that their tax refunds are less than they were before, or they have to pay more taxes. Those of us who have to actually pay taxes are paying more taxes than we would have paid. So that's a mixed bag, I think, in terms of how that tax cut really worked and who it helped.
There are people I know who didn't get tax refunds at all. It didn't affect everybody.
Right, exactly. That's what I'm saying. Yeah. They didn't get refunds, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
But what is your take? So do you think that Donald Trump? I mean, Donald Trump is clearly.
He's an egomaniac. That's
right.
Definite. But I like the way that he does fight for the kind of America that I like. I like the kind of America in which government stays out of my business, allows me to do what I want to do, just as long as I don't encroach upon the rights and feelings of other people. And I like that.
Well, what's your take on his rhetoric and the fact that he has ginned up? He didn't start it. He didn't cause it, but he's ginned up and stoked racial animus, misogyny, a lot of hate. Their hate crimes are up. There's no disputing that. The rhetoric that he says is so unbecoming a president. It's something we've never seen before. I mean, do you just disregard that? Do you ignore it? Do you not care about it?
No, I.
Does it bother you?
Well, it doesn't bother me. He is not presidential. I didn't vote for him. I'm a Trump supporter now, not when it came time for the election. I did not want that guy's finger on the red button, but he's shown me restraint. But getting back to your question about the rhetoric, he's somebody who strikes back. I happen to like that. Is he the polished presidential type of image that we've had all these years where they present themselves to the people as being for the people, but yet as soon as the teleprompter's off, they go back to being crooks? This guy
he's just overtly a crook because he's been a crook for decades. I mean, that's pretty well documented if you look at any number of reports. And the fact that he got elected is amazing to begin with. But you're telling me that it doesn't bother you that the things he has said and the comments he's made and the fact that he stands beside dictators like Putin and now this guy Kim Jong-un and actually believes them, takes their word over the intelligence community and anybody else. That doesn't bother you? Really?
That's what happens when you read the Washington Post and the New York Times. But if you actually read the transcripts yourselves, then people might get a little different slant on it. The fact is, he doesn't stand by those dictators. Who says that he stands by them? He has to make relationships with Putin because Putin, along with the United States, is the second largest.
Every other president has had to do that too, and nobody said, "I believe them. I take them at their word. I don't know why they would lie.
Really?
I don't understand
this." Bush said that.
Yes, he did. He takes Kim Jong Un at his word that he had nothing to do with this Otto Warmbier killing.
Bush said that about Putin. Bush said, "I looked through his eyes."
He saw his soul. Yeah, he saw his soul.
Yeah,
Bush said that.
And Obama's bowed over frontwards like he's going to fall down every time he met another dignitary. The thing is that when Obama was around, the economy wasn't booming. When he promised.
Well, but Obama had to dig us out of a ditch. I mean, I don't think that's fair to say because the truth
well,
is the
had
Obama
8 years
economy.
To do it.
But he got us back
years.
On our feet.
He
got us back
years.
On our feet. We're continuing. Yes, I know, but we're continuing it. Trump did not. Trump's bumped.
Trump has accelerated
this
to a greater degree. Trump knows.
Well, a little bit.
Well, more than a little bit. I mean, Obama didn't even go over 3% at all. The first president never to have GDP exceed 3%.
Well, because he was in such a deep hole. We were in such a deep hole when he got there.
Well,
and
that's
the problem. The economy was on the. Come on, you got to look at
the left.
I mean, you have to call it out and be honest.
Well, if you want to be honest, he was in the office for 8 years. The first 4 years, you might want to give him, all right, Bush brought us into a ditch. But then the first 4 years, maybe Obama couldn't get us out of it. But when Obama was responsible, even before he became president, for the policy of he wanted to shut down coal mining, he wanted to shut down certain factories, and then he wanted to do it for climate change and said these manufacturing jobs could never come back, it caused and it deepened the recession.
Well, most of them have not
happened.
Come back under Trump. Trump lied a lot about how many of them were coming back. And the truth is we have to face reality on how to transition these companies and this economy in a way that is going to work for the future because climate change
how,
is a reality. All of these things are there. You can't just ignore them.
Well, how do you lie? I mean, Apple is coming back and repatriation of their funds for to the tune of $550 billion.
Well, various factories. I don't have it in front of me. Various factories that he claimed were going to bring back manufacturing jobs did not, or they brought back a few and then they wound up cutting even more.
I think 600,000 manufacturers. 600,000. That may be a little bit too much. A few 60,000 to 100,000 even more has been brought back because of that. Plus, the policy of having manufacturing independence is a very good idea. We cannot be dependent.
Well, if we get it.
Huh?
Yes, but we're not there.
We're not there, but he's only been in for 2 years.
Well, let's hope he's going to be in for less than another 2 years because the way that we're going. And you're supporting him and you're disregarding all the other things that he's done.
Well,
you're supporting his criminality.
What
you're
other
just,
things has he specifically done? When you say ginned up racism, he has said some comments. This is, you know, what this is. When a person like Trump, who's an egomaniac, does say incendiary things, it's a matter of.
But he's also the president. He's not just an egomaniac.
He's also the president.
When he was the sideline buffoon all those years and making these kind of comments and his whole birther conspiracy nonsense and all the other stuff, it was a sideline show. And you could do whatever you want as a sideline commentator, but you can all do that. When you become elevated to the presidency, you have to hold yourself out in a different way, in a different manner. You just do.
He will do what he does best. He will be Trump.
Well, what
as
he does best is cause a lot of more problems. And I think he's an outrage, and I think it's despicable that we have somebody of that low moral character in the presidency. But I thank your call, Joe. Thanks for calling. Appreciate it. Thank you so much. Thanks for calling.
Okay.
Take care. Bye-bye. Take care. It is the Embed Darkly Show. Reach out. Hey, we love it. Blue, no matter who is me, but I like people that call in who are conservative, libertarian, etc. So call us, 347-857-4505. Twitter feed is AB Wright's phone line, and the Facebook page, pop in the chat box. Get better, boys. Got to take back 2020.
I'm
The Amy Beth Arkowitz Show, Sugarland, and Bitter Blue from Cat Stevens. Don't be bitter blue no matter who come the general election, because folks like Joe, our previous caller, libertarian to the core, and others in the grand old ostrich party will keep their heads in the sand on Donald Trump. They'll disregard it. We got a little more coin in our pocket. We don't care how racist he is. We don't care how outrageous he is. We don't care what he says, what he does, how corrupt and criminal he is. We're disregarding all of that. Unbelievable, if you ask me. But, hey, listen, I like you to call and tell me. You don't have to agree with me, by the way, but I don't have to agree with you either. Twitter is AB Wright. Phone line is 347-857-4505. I do appreciate hearing it from you, but I just can't stomach some of the comments this guy made, some of the things that he's disregarding. You know, first of all, I don't think he's completely accurate. I don't have the facts and figures at my fingertips in terms of the jobs that were created, et cetera. There are farmers that are hurting. There are a lot of people that are hurting over some of his policies so far. But there may be some good things come from it. I'm not saying not. But we can debate it. Certainly Obama got us on the right course, and Trump is just continuing it because he hasn't been in office that long. We'll see how it all plays out. I hope to God we're not going to get another 4 years after this if he doesn't get out sooner. Because this has just got to stop. But I don't know how you can disregard all the atrocities. I'm sorry. And this is, we didn't even get into the separation of the families. I mean, that was something which they coordinated, and now they can't even reunite some of those people. It's, to me, that's outrageous. Your take. Twitter is AB Wright's phone line 347-857-4505. Should you find yourself listening live on this Saturday pop-up coffee clutch on March 2nd, and the Facebook page in the PopNet chat box is open, too, for the live listeners. And the other big thing that came through well, let's go to the – we have people on it. We do have some folks chiming in about some stuff, so let's get to it. Lainey says, can you imagine if Obama said that he believed Kim Jong-un didn't know what was going on, all the heads that would explode on the GOP side, indeed. And Mary says, everyone in Ohio knows what happened to Otto Warmbier, and come election time, we will remember what all the Ohio GOP members said about it. A lot of them not saying. They've become good at keeping their mouths shut, dodging and weaving. Some people have a big mouth, though. Matt Gaetz, you heard about this guy, Gaetz. He's a Republican congressman from Florida. He actually threatened Michael Cohen via Twitter before his testimony. Outrageous stuff, indeed. In fact, he was referred to the Florida Bar Association and Congressional Ethics investigation as well. He did take down the tweet and apologize. This guy's a beauty, though. He's got a whole string of DUI arrests on his own record, and his Twitter bio says he's a machine, he's handsome, he's going places, a quote from the real Donald Trump. Enjoy it, indeed. And speaking of the Trump family, more troubles for them, it seems, as it looks like Jared Kushner, Trump's son-in-law with absolutely no foreign policy chops whatsoever, who was handed this massive portfolio, including Middle East peace to his name, couldn't get the top clearance he was required. So guess what? Trump overturned it. And now Trump's lying about it, as is Ivanka. I see some more folks testifying in the future. It's a real sordid family affair. Great job.
Somebody that just loves to learn, and another child grows up to be somebody you just love to burn. Mom loves the both of them. You see, it's in the blood. Both kids are good to mom. Blood's thicker than the mud. It's a family affair. Family affair. Your heart is there, but you can't. you've been somewhere else. You can't cry, cause you look broke down, but you're crying anyway, cause you're all broke down. It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
It's a family affair.
Well, this is it. This is it. I'm living it, baby.
DC fast enough for me. How about you? Twitter is Baby Rights. Phone line is 347-857-4505. Yes, Facebook page, PopNet Chat Box, open for our live March 2nd pop-up coffee clash. Via the PopNet Chat Box, Dom chiming in. Great to hear your show. Love it on the weekends. Love the commentary. And no, I'm not in for Trump. That guy Joe was way off base. The guy has got to go. He is just one awful mess. And to agree, Lindsay says, not for Trump, but not a Bernie fan either. I'm leaning towards Kamala Harris, but I like Biden too. Okay, we'll see. That all plays out on the Twitter feed. A few more stuff coming in. Jin Ginny says, rallies are talking points. There will be future venues for Bernie Sanders to convince people, please stay open-minded and unbought. That is the way it is. You can't believe what you hear from the other side. Mm-hmm. Okay, we'll see what happens. Listen, if he wins the nomination, I'm all in. I'm blue no matter who, but I do have some residual feelings about Bernie, and I do say again he's not officially Democrat. Just my take. Listen, I appreciate all views, by the way. Democrat, Republican, Libertarian, Vegetarian, Pedestrian, you name it. I'm up for it, and we can have a debate, and it's fine. You don't have to agree with me. In fact, it's more interesting if you don't. But I will tell you if I don't agree with you, for sure. And I didn't agree with that guy Joe in a lot of ways. Hey, let's do our Inspiration to Action Challenge while we have time. It's Carol Annandale on the Hudson. She says, yes, I'm back at it. Thank you for the challenge. I am writing again and back in my ceramic studio. The focal point is getting down to work and loving it again, and I do that, so thank you for helping me. Journaling every day does help. Yes, I find that true, too. And I will tell you, my work on the creative woods myself, I am struggling, as I have been honest with folks about it. Every day is a new adventure, and you have to show up at the page. And some days it's hard. Some days it really is like slugging through a pasture and work in the fields, and it's not going so well. But you got to show up every day, and I'm trying to be faithful to that and trying to work my way through a new project. And I've discovered that a lot of reasons why I'm stalled is because some of the new characters are revealing themselves to me, and I'm not sure I know exactly where to go with these people. So I'm trying to trust in the process and the muses and just show up at the page. And that's my advice to myself and to you. So keep at it. Hey, Carol, keep us posted, please. If the Inspiration to Action has worked for you, please let us know. I'd love to give you that shout-out because you deserve it. Goodness knows you're working hard. But also, you're helping other folks, I think, get the permission and the courage to take a shot and go for it. If, on the other hand, you need a little creative kick in the keister, let's start a creativity coaching counseling conversation. The first one is on me. It works like a 20-minute primer. We'll chat for a little while. I'll give you some tips on the challenge and some other things to get you into creative and productive mode, and we'll take it from there. Either way, stop by the website. It's AmyBethArkawy, ArkAwy.com. Easy access via the Twitter feed, and give me a couple of weeks to connect, and we will do it. While you're there, peruse my stories, the Eliza Gordon mystery, some other goodies up for grabs. And you can also chime in with your guest suggestions, your big story requests, and Forgotten 45s, as well as links to the podcast. All the shows are archived as such. Don't forget that. Get it where you get your podcast, from Mixcloud to Spotify, and all the roads in between, Select Editions 2 on the Arts Radio Network, and PopNet. So last week, while we were paying tribute to Peter Tork from the Monkees, who passed away, I discovered the demo for Pleasant Valley Sunday, which Carole King recorded. She and her late ex-husband, Jerry Goffin, penned that song along with so many other Brill Building hits. And here is the demo. A lot of fun to find this stuff in the archives. It's Carole King and the demo for Pleasant Valley Sunday. Give a listen on the Amy Beth Arkawy Show. I think you'll find it intriguing.
All righty. It's fun time, America. Put the cares of the day behind.
Me right. for you and I. Wind, rain, sleet or snow, I'm going to go biggie wherever you go. You leave me.
Restless.
The killer himself, Jerry Lee Lewis, and Breathless on the Abbey Beth Darkly Show for Elaine and Danny. And best wishes to the killer himself. Suffered a minor stroke, 83 years old, but his press folks say he'll be back performing soon. We wish him the best. Political poachers, too, from America and Pleasant Valley Sunday. The rarely heard demo Carole King did for that song that she and her late ex-husband Jerry Goffin wrote during their real building days became a hit for the Monkees. Good stuff indeed to find it in the archives. And also we want to send well wishes out to Luke Perry, the star of 90210, only 52 years old, apparently, and the reports are sketchy, suffered a massive stroke a couple of days ago, and I hope he's on the mend. Thoughts and prayers to him and his family. And we have to note the passing of Katherine Hellman, the comic icon, appeared on three very important shows, soap in the 70s, the 80s, Who's the Boss, and had a recurring role in the very popular 90s sitcom Everybody Loves Raymond as Deb's mom. Left behind some great laughs, for sure, 89 years old, also a theater actress and apparently a class act, Katherine Hellman. Rest in peace. We mark the passings, the comings and goings in our cultural cacophony, that is for sure. Thank you so much for joining us. Really appreciate the real-time comments, lively as always, and I'm really grateful to the TCS crew, Trudy and Aurora. Thank you for getting that social media memo out so folks will join us during the live broadcast. Love it. And, of course, you know it's all archived for podcasts, so find the Amy Beth Arkwee Show wherever you get your podcasts. Ask for it, get it, and chime in when it works for you. Reach out during social media. Friend me on Facebook. You can follow us on Twitter, our producer, Trudy Hart, at Radio Trudy, and me for the 24/7 conversation at AB Writes. So in the meantime, drive safe, play nice, dream big. Yeah, we're still in the midst of March, roaring in like a lion, snowbirds. Come back and see us on the Amy Beth Arkwee Show. Take care. I love you all.
Beneath this snowy mantle, cold and thin, the unborn grass lies waiting for its coat to turn to green. The snowbird sings a song he always and seek to me of flowers that will bloom again in spring. When I was young, my heart was young and true. Anything that it would tell me, that's the thing that I would do. But now I feel such emptiness within, for the thing that I want most in life, the thing that I can't win. Spread your tiny wings and fly away, know back with you where it came from on that day. What I love forever is untrue, and if I could, you know that I would fly away with you. The breeze along the river seems to say that he'll only break my heart again should I decide to stay. So little snowbird, take me with you when you go to that land of gentle breezes where the peaceful waters flow. Spread your tide.